Expressing your love can look many different ways, and with the right jewelry gift from Blue Nile, it can truly sparkle. Blue Nile's collection of classic diamond jewelry makes for the kind of gift that speaks volumes without saying a single word. Or switch things up with a sapphire piece sure to spark conversation. Either way, Blue Nile's diamond guarantee ensures you get the highest quality at the best price. Express yourself with Blue Nile, the original online jeweler, at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome back to another episode of Reality, and you know the vibes, all the gossip and news from the world of entertainment, show business, and reality TV. Now, I have got a special exclusive interview today. Obviously, Juka from Married at First Sight is going to be in the building, in the studio, spilling all the tea about his time on the show. But can we please kick off by talking about Molly Mae and Tommy Fury? I just want to cry. I love them too. I love those two. I think that they are just goals. They are probably my favourite couple to come off of Love Island. And they obviously achieved the pinnacle of Love Island success, didn't they? Obviously, sorry, forgot to mention, in the last hour, they've announced that they're expecting a baby girl. Congratulations! Obviously, in the pictures that they released on social media, we can see them, you know them things. I'm like, this is going to be so bad. Let me explain this. You know the balloons they have, the baby reveal balloons, and they pop it and then all the pink confetti comes out. So that's what they did on social media, and they've obviously announced that. So big congrats to them. And I'm not going to lie, I'm happy for those two because, look, let's be real. Molly Mae even admitted that she went on Love Island, yeah, as a business move. A lot of people do. Most people do. You know, not everyone goes on there looking for love. In fact, I'd say no one does. In my opinion, don't shoot me, in my opinion. But she went on that show, obviously, for business. And let's be honest, she's making the money. And so is Tommy. But not only that, they clearly found love. So in my opinion, they are probably the biggest winners to leave Love Island in history. So, you know, sending blessings and love their way. Married at First Sight, this has been the biggest season in the UK. I'm not going to lie. I have been glued to my TV screen. There has been a lot of drama on Married at First Sight UK this year. I've watched a lot of characters on the show and thought to myself, you deserve better. And there's one character I thought, I need to speak to you about your experience. Juka is in the studio now, everybody.
Oi, oi. My guy, thank you for having me.
What are you saying? Thank you so much for coming down.
Wow.
You're what glowing. Experience. You're what glowing. Experience. I like this jacket, Juka.
Oh, thank you. I'm trying to go for that 70s drug dealer look.
I'm screaming. Yeah, your skin's glowing. You're looking really happy.
Yeah, I am. I'm always happy. Like, even during the show, majority of the time, well, 90% of the time, I was happy-go-lucky, so.
Yeah.
That's my character.
Let's talk about Juka before Married at First Sight. Yeah. Who were you? So you work in, is it recruitment?
What's your so data? I worked for a pub company, Stonegate Pubs.
Oh, cool.
As a HR recruitment coordinator. So this is dealing with managers, dealing with area managers, dealing with different sites. Just overall people issues, right? So yeah. That was my job before.
So that's why you're so chirpy. That's why you're such a good people's person. You've got those skills already.
Yeah, bro. I mean, growing up in England without speaking the language and having to learn the language and then going to uni, doing all these plethora different style of jobs.
What do you mean by not speaking the language?
So when I came to England when I was younger, right?
Yeah. What age did you come to England?
10 years old.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
From
former Yugoslavia.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Awesome. And so you integrated and then you seem like such a proper sociable person. You can just pick it up like that.
Hey, listen, place me in any habitat or any social setting, I'm going to thrive. Mm. I don't know about the majority.
That is the confidence. I'm going to thrive. I'm going to thrive, whatever happens.
That's what we like to hear.
Nah, because you can't say the same for some of the other cast members. Whereas for me, placing anywhere around the world, bro, like you can't say.
Like who?
Nah, bro, like come on, Whitney's what a prime example of that, man. Even the whole thing of like Married at First Sight and how she approached, I suppose, the wedding day and the ceremony. You know what I mean? Like,
listen, we're gonna get into Whitney. We're gonna get into Whitney in a second. So, obviously, before the show, you were working in HR recruitment.
Mm-hmm.
But a little buddy tells me that you were stripping at some point, were you?
Yeah, of course. I mean, like, it's not a hidden fact. Like, my friends, family, producers, cast members, Channel 4, E4, everyone knows that I stripped when I did my post-grad degree.
Was that to earn money?
Yeah, because at that point in time, I had to self-fund for my own master's.
Oh.
And also during COVID, I got made redundant twice. And my thing is this, because I got a lot of pride in myself. Like, I'm not going to go and get money from the state. I'm not going to go on benefits because there's poor old Dottie that's 78 years old. I can't afford to pay her bills and for her eating. And that me, as an able working man, as a man that can use my talents, you know what I mean? Talents, right? I thought, why not take the punch?
And what were the talents you used? Talk me through the job. I want to hear all the details.
Obviously, you got to have the self-confidence to be able to get in front of a crowd of people, 300 people, and just get bollocks start naked.
Oh, you got naked?
Yeah, bruv. Full Monty, bruv. That's what I mean. Yeah. That's what I mean. Place me in most situations in life, in most positions, I'll thrive.
So how was that? Spill the tea. So, like, what's it like being a stripper? Do people touch you sometimes? Like,
yeah, sometimes they touch you. I suppose it's like a Tesco Values version of Magic Mike.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of like you hype the crowd up, you do your little routine.
But how does it work for you? If they touch you, do you not sometimes get a bit of an erection or like you just get a bit excited? Like, what if it's someone
attractive?
Really,
brother, it's just a job. You know what I mean?
Don't you get excited sometimes when they touch you?
It's the adrenaline rush to know that your bollocks start naked, right? And it's like you embrace all your flaws and all your fears. And it's almost as if the limelight or that particular moment has taken you. So any fear they may have, like whether it's like your schlong size or, you know, you got a bit too much body fat or your abs ain't really popping or your chest ain't chesting, like Kwame says. You just embrace it.
Yeah. And did Whitney know this?
Yeah, of course she
did. Really? And how did she take that when she found out?
All right. She was all right with it. She understood why. And the reason why it was made a big sort of hoo-ha about PJ stripping, and that means because that's PJ's career. PJ's a performer. From a very young age, he's been a dancer. So that's PJ's whole bread and butter. Even the whole thing with Dream Boys. Whereas for me, I did it as part-time, as spare time, whenever I could for a bit of petty cash to help with life. In uni, I was doing 3-4 part-time jobs, including stripping. I did it again during COVID because I got made redundant twice. So there wasn't a story for me to say, oh, I'm a stripper too, because I feel that that'd be taken away from PJ and what he's achieved and what he's earned.
Yeah, cool. Let's talk about the wedding day, because that was a big day. I think that was one of the first episodes I saw. And I was like, whoa, this looks like a lot. The night before the wedding day, how is it? How'd you get yourself ready?
You know what it was? I was hella nervous. I like my drinking anyway. You know what I mean? I come from a culture and we make our own moonshine.
What did you have? How many did you have the night
before? I had about five, six pints, a couple of tequilas.
Yeah.
I didn't get to bed till like God knows what time. Obviously, the producers and production kept telling me, oh, no, COVID, stay away from people. I thought, oh, screw this, man. I'm about to do one of the craziest things that I'm doing in life, right? I don't care. I'm not going to no curfew of 8 p.m., 9 p.m. I found the nearest pub. Went there, I drowned my sorrows away, and I kind of prepared myself to kind of...
You must have been hungover on your wedding day.
I was a little bit, yeah.
I love that. Wow. And like, so the morning of, you saw your family, your friends, like, what was the conversation? Because obviously you didn't know who you were about to marry.
You know what? It was a lot of sorries as well, because a lot of those guys gave up their days worth of work. They had to like fund their own journeys to there. They had to give up their day. They had to get holidays. So a lot of them did sort of like sacrifice a lot to end up being there. So
was it worth it for them?
It was, because they realized how everything works in terms of TV.
Yeah.
And secondly, and most importantly, it's because they were showing their support to me. So that for me means a lot. My close family and friends know that I'm all about family and friends. And that's the kind of social group I keep around me.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And very early on, in fact, tell me, what was it like when you first saw Whitney? How did you feel?
I turned around and the first thing I noticed is the eye rolling and the body language and the hands flailing.
And is that the first thing you saw?
First thing.
Her eyes rolled as soon as you locked eyes with her?
First thing. And I kept thinking to myself, is this you being framed? Like, what's going on? Like, Like I'm looking around the cameras, like, what is going on? Like, yeah. Seriously, like, what, like, what's going on? Is this kind of like?
But when you first saw her, were you attracted to her?
I didn't even see the person, but I saw the body language, because for uni, as a postgrad, I did visual communication, graphic design, and the first thing I noticed in terms of a person's confidence or nervousness is through their body language. And I just saw flailing hands, a lot of huffing and puffing and eye rolling. I'm like, raw. Like, I'm looking over at the preacher, like, is this the exorcist, bruv? Like, why is her eyes rolling like that in the back of her head? I'm looking at my dad like, dad, I think I fucked up. Like, but it's like the point of no return, because it's like, I've made a lot of life choices, a lot of spontaneous decisions throughout my 20s. Mm. And that for me was one of the most spontaneous. And I was like, wow. So I kind of like held my own. Like, you know what? I'm like, Duke, don't judge. She could just be nervous. Maybe it's not you being framed. Maybe it's not Exorcist Part 5, right? Just be humble, be a gentleman, because just as you are nervous yourself and you're going through this, it's the same thing with my family and friends, same thing with her family and friends, and same thing with her. So I just took it on the chin. I just stayed quiet because I was like, I was more surprised and shocked rather than anything.
Yeah. Now, obviously, on camera, we saw her say that this is the worst thing that she's ever done. She obviously made comments about your height and everything, saying that she wishes you were a bit taller. Obviously, did you know that she thought that there and then? Because I guess you wouldn't.
She mentioned that briefly, but when she said, how tall are you? I'm like, love, I'm 6'2". Like, I know my statistics. That places me the higher echelons of society. I'm like in the top 2% of height. And even when they finished filming that scene, I'm going around to all the tall camera people. Like, my guy, how tall are you? 6'2". I'm like, is your height a problem?
Did that make you feel a bit insecure when she asked you how tall you were?
Not really. It just made me feel more comfortable in my own skin. It made me realize actually the issues are possibly her rather than me, because she's a 5'5", 5'6" girl and she's wearing heels and I'm still towering over you.
Yeah. And what did your family think of her?
Bro, they were hella opinionated behind the cameras. They thought she was rude. They thought she didn't come across too right. They thought that she was very disrespectful. Mm. And it's kind of like that decorum. Like, if you've got nothing nice to say, don't say it all, because like, hey, listen, I can list off 20, 30 different things about any person out there, because no one's perfect. It's our imperfections that make us who we are. So don't list out what you're not good at, but rather embrace the person for who they are. And especially when you're both going through that very nerve-wracking situation, have a bit of decorum to actually keep it zen.
Yeah. Now, in Whitney's defense, I think there were several times throughout the show where she said that there were bits that we didn't see off camera, which kind of made her upset, made her cry at times. What do you feel like you did off camera? Do you feel like you did anything off camera to make
nothing? Nothing at all. It's from the wedding itself. I realized that this girl's got no self-awareness. So therefore, my thing is that, hey, listen, if you're gonna come out of this, you wanna still be working, you still wanna be able to have an easygoing life, like, be careful in what you're saying and watch what you say. Because me, as a first generation migrant, right, that's come over to England, right, in the back of a truck at the age of 10 and all that jazz. Not because I was looking for the sympathy vote. There's going to be a lot of stereotypes about you. And you, as a black woman, and tell you as well, in terms of what the public sees of you, there's going to be a lot of stereotypes about that. So please, I beg you, until the public warm to you and really see you shining and warm to your character, just be careful in what you give away, because you need to conduct yourself with morals. Yeah. And she kept quiet about that. And then whenever the cameras came back on, she'd throw that in my face and the rest of the cast members to say that I'm being fake. Yeah. I'm like, no, just because I got a bit of self-awareness.
So why do you feel like she kept on saying that you were fake?
Because of how her mannerisms came across to the rest of the group. It's a lot harder for some people to apologize and do the internal self-work than it is to try and redirect the heat and negativity they're getting to the strongest person in the group, which I think was me.
Yeah. Now, Whitney obviously opened up about the passing of her mother, I believe.
Yeah.
Do you feel like maybe kind of her dealing with that could have contributed to her ways of looking at love and maybe trusting people and letting her guard down? Do you maybe feel like that could be it?
Possibly, but then again,
she's obviously, you know, that's obviously a very devastating and daunting thing to go through. Do you feel like maybe she's just been through so much in her life that could be possibly one of the reasons why she behaves the way she does?
It could be, but there's still no excuse. Because if you're going to be playing the whole top trumps of cards of devastation and past baggage, I can trump that list. You know what's happened in Ukraine recently, right? I lived through that up to the age of 10.
What did you live through up to the age of 10?
Civil war. If you do history, right, if you do your reading, if you like look at what happened back in the 90s in former Yugoslavia, I've been about that life. But I never once used my past trauma, my past trials and tribulations to try and like shit on other people or be rude. it's actually made me realize now you need to bring people closer because of the devastations, the atrocities that you've been through as a man, as a person. It's like, no, they got to bring happiness and positivity into it. So even though she went through that with her mom, and it's a very, very, very sad way to understand and know that the closest person that you're with is no longer there and you don't even have the chance to say goodbye, we still should not excuse you in how you treat other people.
Mm. It seems like you feel, I know you are a tragic person, but it seems like you feel quite disappointed by this experience that you had with her.
Yes, I do feel that because from day one, I told her like I'd have her back. I never once tried to throw her like under the bus. I never once said anything bad about her to the rest of the cast members, the rest of the group. Even when she tried to throw all these accusations that I'm after this, I'm after that, and I'm fake, I'm like, well, cameras record and film you 6 days a week, 12 hours a day. And there's some hella opinionated cast members there. If there's even a smallest ounce of truth in what she was saying about me, they would have jumped on that like hungry sharks and they would have ran with it because it would have made better telly.
Do you feel like you grew to like her quite a lot eventually? Because I feel like you did from what I saw.
It's because behind the camera, she's actually very calm and collected and down to earth.
So who was she behind the cameras? Talk about that version of Whitney.
She was very calm and collected and down to earth. Like there's not much drama. Like she wasn't highly opinionated. She wasn't trying to cause beef or issues. She was just like calm and relaxed.
And that's the person you start to fall in love with.
I wouldn't say fall in love because I wasn't even in love. For me, it was like battling from day one. I was already in the back foot. I was just trying to protect myself in many ways. I was just trying to guard myself because every single time I'd speak to her behind the cameras to see how she was getting on, vice versa. When the cameras came back on, she'd try and throw me to the wolves. So for me, I was trying to gauge through that with the experts' opinions of how to maneuver through this. But then I realized it's like there's no way of doing this because...
Because there was one scene where you guys were all having dinner and she just started crying.
You know what that scene was about? What? It's because on her plate, she had like... She had like broccoli or cabbage where it wasn't cooked properly.
Oh, and she was crying because of that?
Because she was crying because of that. And not because of you? Not because of me.
Oh.
And then when she went outside and she started speaking about me and she started saying stuff like, well, Duke of this, Duke of that. Obviously, when people cry on telly, that's when they get most airtime.
Yeah.
When people cause drama on telly, that's when they get most airtime. On that same particular episode, in that same particular scene, she even went back up to April to say, actually, he's a very nice guy. Mm. So how can you be crying about a guy that's supposedly bad to you, but then they're going to go tell your best that actually Duke is
all
right?
How did this all make you feel? When you obviously, like I think you said earlier off camera that you didn't see all the bits that she said to camera and her thoughts, but only when you were watching it back. When you saw all of her observations and her thoughts and opinions, how did that make you feel?
What a hypocrite, and oh, look at the double standards. Because if you're going to be talking about, let's say, the whole like stag do and hen do, she had a go at Jess. She had a go at Jess for Jess saying, hey, listen, I sleep on the first night with someone because I don't care, I own my sexuality. Whitney was hella opinionated about that. But when her and Matt got together, who started clapping cheeks straight away?
Sorry, so hold on. So you mean on the first night with those two?
Yeah, because if you look at back of the episode when those guys got together, they got filmed at the same bed.
Yeah.
But again, she had audacity to try and...
But like, how do you know that that's what happened?
I don't, but then again, that's part of the edit. And this is the thing with edit, right? You did what he did and he said what he said. You can't go pro edit, right?
So we can't say that she's clapping cheeks if you've not got evidence.
We can't, but then again, if they're saying lovey-dovey and all these things, we've got to assume that.
No, because assuming is not good,
well,
Duke up.
Well, that's the way that I see it. And even not from that, it's the whole thing about me, like, doing the whole speech at the ceremony day with my friends and family. Everyone sacrificed so much of their day. They used their holidays. They paid their money for fuel, for travel costs. And shame on me for going to my family and friends and her family and friends and saying thank you. And their response to that, oh, it's such a show, man. But when Matt did it, oh, my God, like, Matt, you're amazing.
Do you regret anything from this show?
No. No, you know why? Because it's taught me a lot about who I am as a person, the experiences I've had, the friends that I made, the people that I've come across. It's like through thick and thin, Duke never changes. My demeanor, my decorum, my mannerisms, they all stayed the same. Never once did my tone of voice change. Never once did I break down and say one thing about a person, next thing about a person. You know what I mean? And I hold myself very highly to that.
Yeah. Now, was it the honeymoon when you guys were talking about her being vegan and then... You said you'd be open to...
For a couple of days, for a couple of days.
And look, I think that was a prime key moment on the show because that basically showed that you were willing to open yourself up. You were quite open to anything that she was doing. And like, despite everything that happened, what made you want to carry on with Whitney? Obviously, because you've now told me that, and the viewers, of course, that off camera, there was another version of Whitney that you were getting to know.
Yeah.
So is that what it was? Because I think a lot of people want to know, what made you want to keep on going? If all of this, what we saw on camera was happening, but you wanted to keep being quite open and getting to know her and stuff.
Because when you talk about a social experiment, it's just not me and Whitney. It's also the experts. Mm. It's also learning from the situations that happen with the other couples. Because if already my stuff is going not good, let me at least get to that commitment ceremony to see what the ex has got to say.
Yeah.
And let me at least see the dynamics of the other couples, because yes, fair enough, this may not be working out for me now, but at least I can take the learnings that the other couples are going through and trying to apply those to my life.
Yeah.
I'm a min-maxer, right? I'm a very intelligent guy, right? I don't even need to say this myself. Like, there's plenty of people who that back that claim for me. But if I'm not in that situation, I'm all about the experiment and everything that entails.
Yeah.
The experts' opinions, what the other couples are going through, the whole vegan versus meat, Jenna and Zoe, the whole Jonathan talking about horse legs and what his opinions are in terms of sexual partners is, what Sophie's is, Thomas and Adrian. Like, it's not just a case of just me learning from Whitney or me going through that stuff with Whitney, but I'm taking this social experiment and I'm learning left, right and center, because that's what a logical man is supposed to do.
Yeah.
You embrace the whole thing, even our commitment ceremonies. Like, those are 12, 13 hour days. People only see 50 minute glimpses of the couples that was really going through stuff. I'm actually there half the time looking at my watch thinking, rah, these man's been up here for like an hour and a half with the experts. But I'm learning. I'm there just learning, because I'm there just glued in, because, okay, that's happening. That's happening. He's acting that way. She's acting that way. So I used that situation to learn as much as possible as I could about people.
Do you feel like the experts did the right job to match you and Whitney together?
No, they didn't. And Paul will own up to that. He knows he effed up. They know they effed up. And part of me believes that I was there as a sacrificial lamb. Because Married at First Sight will not be Married at First Sight unless some drama was happening. If you look at marriage statistics, 50 to 60% marriages end in divorce. Mm. Before you even find the one you want to marry, you go through 3 heartbreaks.
Yeah.
So you really think, oh, they're like, God knows how many couples on there, like, everyone's going to be happy, lovey, marry-go-lucky. No. Unfortunately, some couples won't make it. Unfortunately, some people get shit on. Unfortunately, some people go through drama. And that's the facts of life, because that's a simulation of 20 years worth of stuff happening with multiple different couples condensed down over a space of like 8 weeks. And the craziest thing about this, even on social media, there's customers I used to serve 15 years ago that literally come into my aid, to my defense publicly, right? Writing articles and stuff about me, because I served customers. I used to work in Costa as a barista. Yeah. I make a mean coffee, by the way.
You know, really?
I make
flat whites.
These people are coming up and backing me publicly. And that, for me, brings me great pride, because that's who I am as a person.
Yeah, they know your character.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the good moments you had with Whitney, because I'm sure there were good times, there was banter. You went on a safari.
Yeah,
didn't you?
Yeah.
Like, let's talk about that. How was that?
I mean, we did tandem biking, we did zip lining.
Was zip lining fun with you two?
Was it what, sorry?
Zip lining, was it fun with you two?
It was decent. But then again, that's when you get to see if someone's all up for like a spontaneity
adventures
or not.
Adventures. Yeah, adventures. Like
yeah. Rest of me is like, you know what? I've been through a lot already. I could have died multiple times. So each day is a blessing. You
literally,
know what I mean? That
zip line.
Yeah, you know that piece of wood right there? It looks like it might crumble and I might die. But you know what? I still lived another day.
Yeah.
Let's go. Whereas exactly. It was kind of a bit more timid that you go first and so on. But then again, it all depends on like your perspective of life.
You had a good time over there.
Yeah, it was a good time.
What were the qualities you liked about Whitney?
Overall, to be honest, in terms of what I see now and what I see everything transpire in terms of watching the edit back at the same time as everyone else, not much.
Okay.
Not much. And the reason why I say that is because of the hypocrisy and the double standards that she has shown on camera, on the show. It's not even a case of my opinion. It's like, nah, that's not the kind of person I'd want to associate myself with or be around. And it's no shade in her. It's just my perception. Because like I said, the whole thing of her going off at Jess, but then again, getting so close and intimate with Matt straight away. The second one of her saying, the double standards of the nation went ham at Jonathan for saying horse legs. And he did not even aim that comment towards Sophie, but rather his preference in what he likes. Mm-hmm. And everyone deserves to have their preference. It's just that Jonathan has never worked in a very corporate career ladder, to be able to filter his words, right? So the whole nation went off towards him. But then again, when Winnie said, I need to be taller, bigger, my arms need to be bigger, my legs need to be bigger. I mean, that's a bit of audacity, isn't it?
Why is that audacity?
It's the audacity of double standards. Because had a man said exactly those same things about a woman, I'd be cancelled. I would be cancelled. Me as a Caucasian man living in this first world country, I would have been cancelled. And it's not fair. And also the whole thing about me like being perky and saying pleases and thank yous and doing a speech to my family and friends, for me, that's a huge part of my culture. And I got castrated for that. Oh, perky P wants to be a showman and vice versa. I'm like, you're the girl that's piping up about these things. I just said my little speech, I'm sat down. Whereas when Matt does it, like you're all there like, Matt, I love you. Rev. Don't people see the double standards and the hypocrisy?
How did you feel when she lost the ring and didn't want to get it replaced?
She purposely threw the ring away.
What makes you think that? Come on.
Because she told me. She purposely threw the ring
she
away.
She told you?
Yeah. She purposely threw the ring away. And for me telling her that actually, you know what, I should get another ring, it's not because I cared in many ways, but it's almost for the fact that, you know what, if you don't have a ring, the other cast members might go off on you. And it might create or cause more drama. And I don't want it to go through drama.
Yeah.
And these are things that's all happening on camera. It's not a case of my opinion, or this is what she was behind the cameras. Because I'm telling you right now, behind the cameras, she's actually quite calm and collected and down to earth. I'm not trying to, like, you know, shit on her. I'm not trying to, like, go off on her. But it's for the fact that when the cameras are rolling, your mannerisms and how you acted and the double standards and the hypocrisy, you showcase that, right? And there's other cast members there as well. They publicly back me, majority of them. But it's funny and ironic how she's blocked at least half of them on Instagram.
She's what?
She's blocked. I'm like, why are you going to do that, Will? Why is someone going to block other people on social media and Instagram and all these platforms?
Why has she blocked people? And how do you know she's blocked people?
It's because like, I speak, there's a group chat of us guys. There's a group chat of the cast members.
Why do you think she's blocked?
I don't know, because when sometimes people share their opinions, they don't want certain people to know about their opinions. That's my assumption. Or for example, when they see other people doing well and getting love, maybe they don't want to see that.
Do you feel like Whitney hurt you?
No, she didn't hurt me. She hurt herself. She did not hurt me. Like, hey, listen, I'm as strong as ever. Like, that for me was nothing. Like I said, I lived in a civil war. Like, I lived in one of the roughest areas of Birmingham. Like, walking to school, I could have been stabbed.
But it must have hurt your ego a bit. Watching that back, her making those comments about you, it must have hurt you some way, somehow. You seem hurt.
I seemed annoyed more than hurt. And my annoyance came at the fact that this girl, like, couldn't see and couldn't control her mannerisms. And that's what it was. And for me, it's kind of like, come on, man. Like, because like I'm telling you now, the public afterwards are going to be going ham at you. And it's not going to be a nice ride. Like, I sleep easy at night. I'm not getting hate when I walk out with the public. Like, my family and friends, when they go out and about, they're getting congratulated and seeing how wonderful they are. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of, I foresaw that. And even then, what gets shown in terms of the show itself is only 10% of it. Because from, like, let's say, from every 1 hour that they film, only about 45 seconds makes it through onto the episode.
Yeah.
Whereas the 90% of the time, I'm actually quite talkative. Like, I won't show up. I'm quite jovial.
Yeah. And how did you feel when she cheated on you with Matt?
For me, I didn't necessarily see that as cheating, and I understand why production and the editing didn't show that as such in terms of me being a victim. It was more of cheating towards Gemma's eyes because Gemma was still going through it. Whereas for me, I realised that, especially that the last couple of weeks, it's like it's dead in the water. Like, my time has come. Like,
were you surprised? Were you shocked?
I wasn't surprised or shocked. I was kind of more shocked. I'm like, really, Matt? I'm like, raw. Like, why didn't you go for my boy PJ? Like, I know PJ. Why didn't you go for Kwame? Like, but it is what it is. Everyone's got their taste and preferences.
Why were you surprised at Matt being the person?
It's because Matt is also this kind of like, he's very different to me, but very, very similar to me as well. Like, he likes to kind of like, you know, like host and do speeches and be a man and be all philosophical. And it's like, it's funny how when Matt does, oh my God, Matt, woo! When Duca does it, he's like, oh my God, stop being a showman. Like, bruv, you know them ones.
Oh, wow. All right. So you've seen that and you're watching that play out. So when did you find out that this happened between her and Matt?
The night before it got revealed at the dinner party.
Who told you? How did you find out?
Kwame told Whitney to come and get me and tell me.
Really?
Yeah, out of respect, because Kwame respects.
Was this on camera?
No, off camera. Off camera. And
what was the conversation?
It's like, oh, I got to tell you something. And then obviously, in that moment in time, because, you know, it's a very serious conversation for me. I was like, oh, what bullshit is happening now? Like, you know what I mean? Like, yo, I'm about to go home this week. I didn't tell her that because I was thinking that. Yeah. And then I saw some tears roll down her face. I'm thinking, oh, God, like, what now? Like, what are you trying to use against me? Are you trying to throw me underneath the bus again or what? What's going on? Oh, you know, I don't want to hurt you. I'm like, bruv, you've hurt me for multiple weeks. Like, don't use the whole line. You're not trying to hurt me. Like, you tried to throw me underneath the bus multiple times. Yeah. Me and Matt have this connection. I'm like, hey, what? I'm like, who, what? You and... I'm like, you and Matt. Like, you and Matt got a connection. What's going on? All right, cool. Like, I'm looking, I feel like raw. Like, literally. It's more like raw on Matt. Seriously. Matt's into these black girls as well. My guy, fair play to you. Like,
yeah.
So I sat there. She's like, I'm like, don't stress, don't worry. It's what it is. And as soon as she finished telling me, right, with the situation that's happening, my first thing was that mano, because of the last week, me and Matt got on, went gym together, we did body workouts together and approached him. Mm. And I was very disappointed at the fact that it wasn't him that came to tell me first.
Yeah.
Right? So I approached him as a man and I told him, you know, when people breathe heavily, Because mano o mano, when men are serious, yeah, when disrespect like that happens, listen, man, Mike Tyson's uppercuts, fisticuffs, you know what I mean? Those things happen. Yeah. So he was a bit nervous and he thought that I'd handle it in a very bad way.
He thought you wanted to fight him.
Yeah, he thought, because I could tell from his demeanor, his mannerisms and his breathing. I was like, don't worry, I'm not stupid. Come on, I'm a grown ass man.
Yeah.
How are you going about this? Make sure you do the right way. Make sure you tell Gemma. Make sure that you handle this properly. And for me, you got my blessings. It is what it is. No stress, no qualms. I'm a bigger man.
But do you still feel like annoyed that he didn't come and tell you first?
Yes. And it's for the fact that I suppose in many ways, like he went off on an impulse decision. Right? Anytime someone makes...
Because you and him were cool.
We're cool. Even cool now. I'm amicable with the guy now as well. Yeah. But it's like, if you're gonna be having tats in your face, doing all these gym and weights and stuff, right? There's a certain perception and aura they have about you. And you can't base your actions on impulse decisions.
Yeah. And back then, because you two were boys, did you feel betrayed in any way? By him?
Not necessarily betrayed, just disappointed. Mm. Right? Like, bruv, don't, it's like one of those things that Kwame had to tell Whitney to let me know. Yeah. And it's like, why couldn't you do that before everything? Yes, if it happened that afternoon, approach me as a man. Approach me as a man, because let's say if that was the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak, and we went to the dinner party and the dinner table and I lost the plot. Bro, it looks bad for the both of us in national telly, because you're geese with tats and muscles. Yeah. I'm a first generation migrant. God forbid, imagine us two had fisticuffs. Mm. How would that make us look as men?
Yeah.
Every action has consequence, good or bad. Mm. And he didn't think about that. And afterwards I told him, hey, listen, it is what it is. Yeah. Just make sure you go tell Gemma.
Yeah, of course. Violence is not the answer. Now, like, out of the whole experiment, who do you think is the strongest bond that will just make it until the end, until further notice, for years to come as a couple?
In terms of the couples, I believe that Jenna and Zoe and Shannon Jordan.
Why?
Because they just got that love and embrace for one another, man. You know what I mean? They had good times. It's like, you know, I sat there like literally 90%, 60% of the time, 70% of the time, sat there thinking, going through my shit. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Okay. Was there anyone there who you thought, oh, I would have rather been married to you?
I mean, not really, no, because that was my journey and I was fully embraced in my journey and my acceptance of it. I suppose it would have been nice in the grand scheme of things to kind of like have an easier life.
Yeah.
But then again, you don't learn nothing by having an easier life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, diamonds are made under pressure, bruv. Mm. Like, so that's what it was for me. But sometimes I look over at Jonas and be like, huh, that must be nice. Yeah. And they're witnesses slagging me after to the excess left, right, and I'm there just,
wow. Now, would you do reality TV ever again?
If the right opportunity came along, then yeah. But I wouldn't do reality TV for the sake of doing reality TV. Mm. Because prior to this, I've been approached by multiple other projects for me to go on reality TV. Because people have to remember, in terms of my backstory.
What projects? What shows have you been approached by?
I mean, regarding The Cabins, regarding Love Island.
Love Island?
Regarding Take Me Out. Like, yeah. So,
I think you'd be good on Love Island.
Bro, you know what's the crazy thing? I'm a highly competitive guy. The premise of Married at First Sight was to have someone's back through thick or thin, till death do us part. Mm. place me in a situation where there's competition, right? When there's proper competition, bruv.
Yeah.
Ain't no one touching me.
Yeah.
Why do you think no one of the other cast members came for me apart from Thomas? And even the whole situation when it happened with Thomas, I just got angry at him because he's about to start spitting facts there and then on the table about everyone else, and I got annoyed at him. And the loudest mouthpiece of the whole like ceremony, the table, the program is Thomas. And straight after that, he came apologized straight away and both hugged it out.
Really?
Yeah. Because it shows the level of respect he's got about me. Speak to Kwame, speak to PJ, even Matt himself. They all got respect about me. Yeah. They know that, hey, listen, like, yes, I will tolerate if a girl half my size and half my weight and all that jazz acts that way because I'm a man. Mm. But, bro, place me in a position where there's other men involved. Ain't no one bringing me down, bro. Mm. I believe that mentally I'm the strongest guy there.
Yeah.
So place in a position, like, let's say, quote, unquote, Love Island. You think you're going to get Harry and David and Steve and Michael that are 21 years old, that you think they're going to have one over me?
Yeah. You could do it. You think you could do Love Island?
Bruv, celebrity SAS, I'm a celebrity, come get me out of here. Like, whatever it is, bruv, I got the mentality and physicality to literally beat everyone else.
Yeah.
And people think, oh, you sound so arrogant and cocky. But no, you got to be your biggest number one fan, because if you don't do that for yourself, no one else will do that for you.
True. Now, Kwame, I know you two are boys, but yeah. Kwame, I think he's funny, but he's become a bit of a villain on social media, if we're to be honest with ourselves. What's he like?
Kwame is such a lovely man. Mm. Like, literally, Kwame, because Keisha is a massive cook, Kwame was the guy that was literally, like, giving me half of her food. Mm. Every single time, like, I'd knock on his door and he'd go gym together, we'd jam together, I'd be like, yo, Duke's Keisha, cook some food. Yeah. I like to call him a skinny Barry White. I like to call him skinny Barry White, bro. He's got that deep voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's such a lovely man.
Yeah. And you feel like, will those two last?
No.
Why?
Because they got this almost like a conflict point each and every single time they get towards a commitment ceremony or around the dinner table. Mm. When they have these explosions that come back, and it's kind of like it's too up and high.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I suppose a successful relationship needs to happen when it goes steady.
Yeah. And what's next for Duka?
Bruv, I don't know. I just know I'm a hard worker. I know I'm confident. I know I've got the abilities to do X, Y, Z. I fully don't know. Like, I'm going through this process now of kind of like trying to redefine and refine myself.
Yeah.
So to all the agents out there, to all producers out there.
Hit him up. Well, look, thank you so much for joining me on the show. Woo, 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 woo. Woo, woo,
woo. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.